How's everybody going? This is DJ Duncan, live for On the Bounce, Tuesdays 4 to 5. You're listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Joining me, I have Rio Tawatari.
Hey, what's up, guy? This is Rio. Thank you for having me, DJ Duncan.
Thank you for joining me. We're going to have Rio talking about the lockout and things discussed in that. First of all, we're going to be talking about players union and the owners union and what's going on with their dispute. Later we're going to be talking about Houston Rockets and the Chinese team embracing them, finishing off with your favorite Dominican Pangs and how we're doing going into the season. First of all, we're going to be talking about players union and collective bargaining agreement. It's a negotiation between the players' union and the owners' union. First of all, Adam Silver came out with an optimistic saying Sunday night that a new collective bargaining agreement with the players' association will be reached soon. So the agreement was in 2011 that they're going to have a 10-year contract. But either side can opt out of this contract December 15th. And that's going to mean another lockout. Now, it's not likely for a lockout because the NBA is in such a rise right now, you know, with teams having players, Kevin Durant, big moves. It's going to be a good season. Teams are going to be wanting to have fans, and fans aren't going to have that. So we're not going to see another lockout for sure. But, you know, it is another step that they need to take in order for them to come upon agreement. Now, the players' union was established in 1954. Players usually had no benefits, no per diem, no minimum wage. Average player salary was $8,000. And then the All-Star team in 1964 threatened the owners that they weren't going to play in this game because it's going to come victory, because it's going to, you know, gain their victory, that they need to have rights, and kind of like a boycott situation. You know, their mission was that the NBA players had to protect their rights and, you know, every conceivable measure, to assist in maximizing, you know, the opportunities that they need to take, their salaries first and foremost, everything like that. What do you have to say about the NBA players taking a stand and kind of, you know, saying we need this to happen in order for us to play these games? You know, what do you think about that as a basketball player looking on that and just the stand that they take against owners of treating them, you know, unfair and improper? Yeah,
definitely, because a lot of people love NBA, and pretty much all over the world people watching NBA, and that means they're making a lot of money. That means players should get a lot of money too, because they're the reason why people watch the game, and then it always have to be fair and between the players and the owners, like NBA organizations.
Yeah, that's
what I think.
Yeah. Right now, the NBA has an executive committee representing the NBA players. Right now, Chris Paul's a president. LeBron James is a first vice president. James Jones is a secretary. Steph Curry, Kyle Korver, Steve Blake, Carmelo Anthony, Andre Iguodala, Anthony Tolliver are all vice presidents. That's a pretty good name recognition, I would say so.
Yeah, it's good to have the people recognized today, like everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, better than unknown NBA players.
Yeah, it's not just, you know, not bums of the league, yeah, but it's all-star caliber guys. You know, they're coming in and they're representing their team, wanting rights for players and themselves. It's good to have, you know, the father figures of the league kind of do that. you know, do you think the owners have a right to kind of have not possession, but an amount of ownership over the NBA players and the salaries they get? You know, right now I think it's almost 50-50, but not too 50-50. I think the players have like a little bit of an advantage.
They do.
Could be mistaken.
Yeah.
But do you think the owners have a right to have?
Ooh, that's a hard question.
Have ownership over them?
That's pretty hard question. I don't know, cause I'm a basketball player, and as long as I'm a basketball player, I would be like, hey, give me more money, you know?
Yeah.
But so my position is gonna be the player should be have a more advantage than owners. What do you think?
Well, they're the ones providing the, you know, the gear and
facilities.
You know, massages, rehabilitation. They're giving you a whole lot.
But they have to hire the people who run the team, the organization.
Exactly.
Like a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe owners.
So you're switching back. Back to owners.
Let me switch this.
Switch back to owners.
Yeah, owners. They're working hard too.
Yeah, but the owners aren't being seen on television. The NBA players are being seen on television. They're the ones the fans are seeing, not the owners.
That's true, but you know, some players getting a million, even though they only play like a couple minutes a game.
That's true.
But that's compared to that ownership, they're being, I mean, I don't know about owner, but people who are in organization working very hard to make people watch the game and buy gears, all that stuff. So, yep.
And this, you have a good point there, Rio. You have a good point there. I feel like the players definitely should have a little bit of a leeway. It should be very close to 50-50 because they are providing the facilities, their needs, the per diem, the rides, you know, opportunities for the players are given through these ownerships. And you know, most teams have a good ownership. They have I'm thinking of the Dallas Mavericks owner Mark. You know, he's very loyal to his team.
Is he?
Yeah, he shows up at the games all the time, big fan. You know, he loves his team. So you see the owners showing pride and wanting to do this, but it's good that the Players Association has a sort of section of big names that could, you know, serve as like a leadership kind of role for the players to ensure their rights are being protected, and you know, and they're maximizing the deals. The NBA jumped; it was a huge spurt earlier this year that the NBA deals are maxing out, and all the NFL players were mad at the NBA players tweeting and stuff like, oh, I'm going to start playing basketball, and right. There was jokes with that.
Right.
So the NBA is definitely on a rise.
Yeah, because I had the opportunity to work out with a lot of NBA players, and they were talking about the money stuff in the gym. Like, that's crazy, like how much money they can get, like way more than it was before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. They were super excited about it.
Yeah, even bench players like is a minimum of
8-9.
Yeah, I was gonna say $9,000 of a contract. So that's a big jump for the NBA. We don't want to see another lockout, so we want them to come upon a, you know, agreement. The last lockout in 2011 was the fourth lockout in NBA history, and the owners began the stopping the NBA games until December 8th. So there was a 161-day lockout. And what do I think of the lockout personally? I think it was really good because we saw a whole bunch of NBA players kind of in random gyms, and they would do organizations, yeah. And it wasn't as competitive. You wouldn't see as much defense, but it was definitely as entertaining. as normal games. It was just more like of a pickup a game kind of style.
Yeah, that's pretty true. And I'm from Japan, and no one came to Japan, but a lot of NBA players went to the overseas and played there. And yeah, that was a really good thing for those countries and to develop their basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely spoke on last week, if you didn't check me out, 4 to 5 Tuesdays, that the overseas basketball and the kind of combination that they have to the league and sending players over and players, you know, it's kind of like a D league in itself, of what players can do and giving them opportunities to do that. But yeah, so that's what we have for the first part of the show. We're going to go to a quick break, come back on. We have another guest joining us, so stay tuned. This is DJ Duncan on the bounce. You're listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. We will be right back.
Is Penguin Radio. People say we shouldn't be together, too young to know about forever, but I say they don't know what they talking about. This love is only getting stronger, so I don't wanna wait any longer. I just wanna tell the world that you're mine, girl. Oh, they don't know about the things we do. They don't know about the I love yous. But I bet you if they only knew, they would just be jealous of us. They don't know about the
I'm
How's it going? We're back live on air. This is DJ Duncan. You're listening to On the Bounce. Joining me, I have Rio Tawatari.
Hey guys, it's Rio.
And my newcomer, Reverend Maduakor.
Hey, what's up everybody? How you guys doing?
Thank you for joining us here today on the Bounce. Tune in Tuesdays 4 to 5. Listen to basketball on and off the court. Right now we're going to be discussing a little bit on the court as we just spoke on the collective bargaining agreement. So scores from yesterday. Any standouts? First we have Minnesota versus Charlotte. Zach LaVine kind of went a little crazy. 30 points.
Dang, he did go crazy, but I mean, they came out with the L at the end of the day, though.
It's okay. It's still preseason, and I actually watched his highlights from last night. Is that last night?
Yeah,
last night it was, oh my God.
It was crazy?
Yeah, but I think he has a lot of green lights this year. I mean, I think he had last year as well, but pretty good. Looking great.
Yeah. Yeah, he had, 13 for 20, so shooting efficiently, 4 for 6 from wow. Three. He's definitely shooting way better than he did coming first into the league. He was really known as like an athletic point guard.
He's a point guard.
Not really. Yeah, he was a point guard at UCLA too.
Yeah, right off the bench, six man. PG.
Six man point guard went to league.
Yep, went to league before the starters. Can you believe
Holy.
That? Before the people that started.
He only had two turnovers.
Last night?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Last night. Charlotte came out with a win. You know, they're only 1-3. Like you said, this is only preseason. Real NBA regular seasons begins October 25th for those NBA fans waiting for it to come out. You know, I'm kind of tired of watching NBA Ball is Life videos.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think about Reb?
What? NBA Ball is Life videos or about the season?
I'm saying, like,
I'm
excited. That
oh, man.
I can stop watching those.
I know. I can't wait. I can't wait for the season to start. I'm especially excited for the Lakers, you know, L.A. That's where I'm from, Lakers. We're coming for y'all. Warriors, boo.
The Lakers are doing well, too.
Yeah, Lakers are doing very well. Not say very well, but we're looking pretty good with new head coach.
They had a good showing 2 days ago against the Nuggets, I believe.
Russell, though.
D'Angelo Russell came out with 33 points.
Damn. You are lying, and
no,
I missed it.
He was
him and Julius
awesome.
Randle.
Kidding.
He had how
like
many
a 16
points?
33. To 4 run.
33.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow, D'Angelo's really gonna be nice.
They're 2-1.
Wow.
In the preseason. This
I saw a lot of tweet on the Twitter obviously, and people saying like D'Angelo Russell is gonna do some this year. I like this stuff. I was like, wow.
What do you think? You think that he's going to do some stuff this year?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
His game is, like, really completely with me. He was in college already. Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
Yeah, he was really nice.
You know?
At Ohio State.
Even in high school, he already had, like, that, like, complete game already. So.
With Ben Simmons?
Yeah, with Ben Simmons. They went to the same high school. But, yeah, wow. He's really, like, starting to emerge now. Like, as soon as – wow. I'm actually surprised because I didn't think he was going to do – this well. I thought it was probably going to be Clarkson that was going to take over, but
really,
honestly, I thought it was going to be Clarkson just because he's more experienced and like last year he was like their like leading scorer last year basically. Well, him and Kobe. So, but I don't know. Wow, D'Angelo's really
and Julius
really picking it up fast.
Julius Randle is definitely going to help them.
His girlfriend though.
His girlfriend.
He can honestly he can do better.
What about his girlfriend, Rio?
She's so hot with makeup.
No. You talking about the blonde one?
Yeah, with makeup. With makeup, Josh.
He can do better.
With makeup?
Yeah.
Not without makeup?
I would pass that.
You would pass it?
To Rev.
Pass what to who?
So the Cleveland Cavaliers came out with a loss, their first loss of the preseason. It's tough. They came to the loss against Atlanta Hawks.
Oh, dang.
Dwight Howard was a factor in the game.
Yeah, 26 points.
26 points and 8 rebounds.
Wow. So are the Hawks a team in the East to look out for?
20 6 points?
26 points and 8 rebounds.
He hasn't scored that since like 5 years ago.
He hasn't scored that for a while. Wow, so was it smart for him to really go to the Hawks and make that happen? Because now, like, he's where he kind of wants to be at. Like, kind of want to be, like, the, you know, go-to guy on the team.
Yeah, well.
And he's kind of got that factor now.
LeBron didn't play. Tristan Thompson didn't play. Oh, Iman Shumpert didn't play.
Well, never mind. Excuse me. Never
Mike mind. Dunleavy didn't play. Birdman didn't play.
Yeah, Channing I didn't know Fry all that didn't play. Happen. I didn't know.
It's okay. We'll take the L.
Okay, I guess. So basically, you guys can't do it without LeBron.
LeBron, Tristan Thompson, Iman Shumpert, Channing Frye.
Basically, without LeBron.
Mike Dunleavy is going to be a great pickup for the Cleveland Cavs this upcoming season.
Strap. Wow. What about this this Spurs game? Spurs and Pistons.
Spurs. Did anybody play on the Spurs? Because
Kawhi did.
Yeah, he usually. Oh, he played LaMarcus and Tony Parker.
And then for the Pistons, my boy Drummond got off. I'm a big fan of Drummond. 17 points, 13 rebounds. Always a factor on the boards. But, I think that was an easy win for them. But I feel like the Pistons are getting better this year.
I don't know. They barely squeaked into the playoffs last year.
They barely did. And then when they did, they got
they swept. They got swept.
But, I mean, it's the Cavs. Come on.
I don't think. You could definitely have someone better than the Pistons in the playoffs.
I think it's going to be Chicago.
Chicago?
Chicago? Yeah, coming Chicago. Out of the East? Yeah, Chicago might make the
winning
playoffs.
Winning the.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, making
no,
the
no, no, sorry. New York.
Oh, and you think New York Knicks. With Derrick Rose and.
Melo and.
The Porzingis.
Dude from Europe and, you know, my boy, number 91, what's his name?
Oh, the foreign guy?
Yes.
Yeah, he could shoot.
From Lithuania.
I don't know his name, but he's actually a good player.
That's your boy?
Mm-hmm.
They actually beat the Wizards by 2 yesterday.
Yeah, they squeaked that one out.
Did you see the game?
No, I didn't see the game. I saw the highlights of it.
Who was Carmelo had 19, did he do well last
Carmelo,
night?
Carmelo was a factor.
Hmm. How did John Wall do?
Man, I love him.
No, you love John Wall?
I love him.
Because says Bradley Beal got off this game. But
yeah, they're considered one of the best backcourts in the East.
They are, but like they're like.
Who and who?
The Washington Wizards, John Wall and Bradley Beal.
In the East, them and Kyle Lowry and.
DeMar DeRozan?
DeMar.
Oh, hell no.
Yes, they're a nice backcourt.
Because he's from L.A.?
I'm talking about like in the East. That's a good bet. Like, who else is nice in the East? They got
that a
nice
is a good backcourt.
Rondo.
Who?
Rondo.
Rondo?
Rondo was on the Sacramento Kings last year.
Yeah.
Oh, are you even talking about last year?
Yeah, well, in general.
In general.
In general. You think Rondo and D Wade are the best backcourt in the East?
They all are.
Definitely not.
Sorry.
You right?
Yeah, I think those are the only backcourts in the East. To be honest.
Yeah, and in the West we have.
Yeah, West, there's so many.
We have a.
It used to be Westbrook and.
KD, Durant.
I mean, yeah, KD. Who else?
No longer them.
Yeah. And then the Clippers lost a close one.
Yeah, the Clippers are looking.
Yeah, I don't know about the Clippers this year.
Like a little rugged.
I don't know about them this year. Clippers? Yeah, they're scaring me a little bit.
Man, they always have a good squad, but they never win the game.
Then I heard their rookie just got injured when they just got from the first round, Bryce Johnson. And
yeah.
He just twisted his ankle or something, so he's out. So I don't know. The Clippers are, I don't know. They always have something going wrong with them.
They got destroyed by the Warriors.
Yeah, that was a tough game. That was
first game.
I mean, it's the Warriors. Like, come on now. You guys have KD. Like, come on.
They were losing it by 50 at one point, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were. But
I was surprised when I came back to my room, turned TV on, and saw the score like a 70-30.
70-30.
I was like, what?
In the first half.
I was like, what?
In the first half. Yeah, that's what's crazy about it. In the first half.
I was super shocked.
That's unheard of.
The Warriors are for sure going to be good again this year. That's no doubt.
But like, I hope they're going to do well this year because, you know, Paul Pierce, it's going to be his last season, you know?
Paul Pierce, yeah, where's he at? No,
he
he's still on the Clippers.
He's a Clippers, and yeah, he announced today this is going to be the last year.
Yeah.
Yep.
He announced today this is last year?
No, like a couple weeks ago, maybe.
Wow. I'm going to miss Paul Pierce.
I think he should have retired with the
KG and all that, Kobe. And
nah, some people still need to make a little money here and there, you know.
They for sure made enough money to live the rest of their life.
And then retire.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Pierce is definitely set.
Yeah.
In whatever decision he chooses.
And he'll always be a legend.
He was getting slow out there, though. He was getting slow out there, you know.
He got slow, like, kind of young. He started getting slow around, I feel like, his, like, early 30s.
I mean, his
30s.
Game was,
I mean, his game was slow, but I feel like he really started slowing down, like, after Boston.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, defense.
Yeah.
But he get back his
break.
Yeah,
he's a great shooter.
Yeah.
His form's ugly.
The truth.
His shot is ugly.
You think his shot is ugly?
Mm-hmm.
It's not pretty.
I would disagree.
You think it's pretty?
I think it's decent.
It looks like a handle.
I mean, like, it looks decent because, like, he has, like, a nice, like, follow-through and, like, he makes it. But, like, form-wise, it's not the best. Like, but it fits his game, though. You know?
Yeah. At the end of the day, as long as you make it, right?
Yeah, that's all that matters.
Yeah, you compared Hendo, a center, shot to an NBA Hall of Famer.
I apologize. Sorry, guys. That's really disrespectful.
Yet,
bold statement. He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
That's pretty disrespectful.
He's going to be a Hall of Famer. Next up today, tonight, we have OKC versus the Mavericks.
What time? Because I just got to see that. I want to see my boy Westbrook.
I don't think you will because the Lakers are playing tonight.
Oh, what time?
Lakers are playing at 7 against the Trailblazers.
We're gonna try and watch that.
And the Philadelphia 76ers are facing the Memphis Grizzlies.
I'm so sorry for them.
I know.
Who?
Ben Simmons
got injured. But they got Joel Embiid.
They got Embiid.
Who's that?
Joel Embiid. He was the
number one.
Yeah, he was the number one draft pick.
No, he was the
number three draft pick. Number three, like, draft pick a couple years ago.
Two, three years ago?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's back and he played his first game couple days ago, and he did good.
He's a big man, right?
He's a big man. He did good.
They got a lot of big men. No?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
Awesome.
He actually tweeted at Chandler Parsons. Excuse me. He actually tweeted at Chandler Parsons today and said, let me pull up what he said word for word. Said he was going to cook him. He commented on his Instagram.
Are they friends?
I don't know. I don't think so.
If
you
not,
know?
That's so funny.
Joel Embiid is kind of a goofball.
I love it.
And he commented on Chandler Parsons' Instagram who he's going to face. I'm gonna cook you.
I like the confidence.
Serious.
I like the confidence a lot. Sounds like Reb.
Mamba mentality. I love it.
Mamba mentality.
Mamba mentality.
And then we have the Brooklyn Nets facing off against the Miami Heat.
Yeah, my boy, Jeremy Lin.
Jeremy Lin, that's your boy?
Yep, it's on the Nets now.
He was doing good the other night.
He's gonna bounce
around.
I think on his opening night, he had a good performance.
Yeah, he has a good memory in New York, so, you know, hope he's going to do well.
I hope he's going to do well, too.
They play Miami?
They play Miami. Oh. Miami is... Trying to find their identity right now, you know, with Chris Bosh saying he's not going to come.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of struggling coming out, but they're gonna be good definitely in the East.
Yeah, for sure.
They have some pieces. So right now we're going to go to our second break. I'd like to thank Rio Tawatari and Reverend Madhu Akor for joining us on this show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Tune in to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Duncan. You're listening to On the Bounce. We will be right back after this quick commercial break.
Bye.
This is Penguin Radio.
Love is a flame. I just got burned again. You're always there. Each time I need a friend.
Hey everybody, thanks for listening. This is DJ Duncan. You're listening to On the Bounce. Joining me, I have Rio Tawatari, point guard for the Dominican Penguins basketball.
What's up, guys? This is Rio. Thank you.
Now, Rio, if I'm not mistaken, you're from Tokyo, Japan?
Yes, I am.
Tokyo, Japan.
Yep.
Wow, what we're going to talk about next on the show kind of relates to you. Not necessarily the same thing, but we're going to be talking about the Houston Rockets and how they kind of have embraced the Chinese culture to their team, and kind of their organization has followed through with that. You know, how familiar are you with, you know, the Chinese game, and is it kind of different from the regular basketball game?
Yeah, China is in the best country, best basketball country in Asia by far, and they obviously they have a lot of NBA players.
Yeah,
not a lot, but known player like Yao Ming, a couple guys, I forgot the name, but yeah, they were dominating in Asia, and we always, you know, want to compete with them, but, you know, obviously they're better than us. So, yeah, watching the NBA game, and when I see the Chinese people on the court, I'm happy every time I see them on the court. Yeah. And what's the question again?
Well, I was just saying, if there's a difference between, you know, NBA basketball and kind of Chinese.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, let's see, when a Chinese player comes to the NBA, they're skinny, right?
Yeah.
They're way skinny and slower. But in their country, they're super athletic. They're way more faster, stronger than other players. Mm-hmm. But when they come to the NBA, it's a different level.
Wow.
That means, you know, like, there are a lot of differences.
What about between, you know, Japanese basketball and Chinese basketball.
That's another difference. It's like a Chinese basketball player is stronger than Japanese basketball players. That's crazy. And they're taller than us, too. Yeah. Even though we are really very close. We're not like next to each other, but, you know, Japan is an island, so we are not next to any country, but they were only a couple, like 3-4 hours flight, we can go there. But yeah,
that's crazy.
They taller and stronger. And
yeah, they had an initial impact to the Houston Rockets because of Yao Ming. Like you said, he was drafted, the 7'6" center was drafted, you know, number one in 2004. And it was crazy to them. There was so much celebration. It was, you know, it was something that they branded themselves, and Yao Ming was really happy to play for those organization, the Houston Rockets, and they were actually very happy to, you know, bond with him and create a kind of relationship with China culture, and they eventually did. You know, back now, NBA China CEO David Shoemaker, you know, made a statement: "We are in a fantastic place. The game has never been more popular in China. The game has never been, you know, more popular, and the business is soaring. You know, they have at least 1.4 billion people lined up in China to watch an NBA game. In the numbers accounting of who viewed it." And who, you know, saw it via social media, via online, any kind of way. And that's just crazy that they kind of created that reputation of an amount of fans, you know, within itself, don't you think?
Wow, that's 1.4 billion people?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Even though, like, I know China have a lot of population, but that's a lot of people to watch the NBA game, right?
Yeah, it's saying that as much as them have watched the NBA game.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's actually, like, after Yao Ming went to the NBA,
mm-hmm.
Chinese basketball improved a lot. Like, they were, like, we are really close to the China when Yao Ming was young, like, mm-hmm. 18, 19 years old. But when he got older and he started playing in the NBA, after that, no chance to beat them.
Really? You
know? Mm-hmm.
Do you think that, like, kind of gave him inspiration?
Oh, definitely. Like, if he was number one pick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Because if one player goes to the league, all the other Chinese players are gonna be, oh, I might have a chance too. You know?
Yeah.
Like, same as, like, when Jamie Lin came out in New York. All the Asian people are saying, like, oh, damn, he can do that. Maybe I can do that too.
Yeah.
You know, the same stuff. Especially he was a point guard, but, you know, 7'6", big man is a different story. But, yeah, as long as he's Chinese, he's Asian.
Yeah, same ethnicity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. They could see themselves relating to the person and kind of taking that upon themselves. You know, now the NBA and China are in many forms of contact. The NBA and Chinese Basketball Association joint program has trained nearly 1,700 coaches since 2009. The China and Yao Ming announced a partnership in 2012 to develop a youth basketball and conduct community outreach programs in China, which helps them, you know, want to play basketball and improve, like you said. So
yeah,
that's a reason for, you know, them improving is mm-hmm. because they're gaining this relationship with them. The National China Basketball is year-round, and it's an NBA training center for these guys, and they work them out. NBA China pledged a $1.6 million in joint effort with Chinese Ministry of Education to build and refurbish public basketball courts across China. So it's just doing great things.
That's awesome. Actually, back to 2011, when I was a senior in high school, I was selected to the top 60 Asian players, mm-hmm. and invited to the China to play in NBA camp.
Mm-hmm.
So we what's his name? DeMar DeRozan. Rudy Gay and E. Jarin, who just picked by Lakers this summer after he played in Olympics. He's from China too, as well.
Yeah.
So and every summer they're hosting an NBA camp in China. That means, you know, like there are a lot of connection between China and NBA basketball organization, and it's pretty good. That's why I think they're the best in the country in the Asia.
Really?
Mm.
Yeah, Yao Ming is definitely taken upon himself to be a kind of point of contact within them. And now, like, Houston is kind of embracing that. And they recently played, you know, in China. But Yao Ming, statement that he said in his Hall of Fame speech, that he will always have special ties to the Rockets team and to the people of Houston for taking me into their home and making me feel welcome. And as I see in the NBA continue to grow more each year here in China, it makes me happy to know that my American home and my American team is responsible for making much of this happen. So much contact, so much love from both sides. It's great to see that, you know, them still taking on James Harden and the success that he's going to have, which is, you know, a crazy amount. You know, it's gonna definitely show in, you know, they're 2-0 in the beginning, and they're really looking nice this year, don't you think?
Yes, definitely. They have a lot of new players, and obviously James Harden carrying the team like he did last year. I think he's they're doing great.
Yeah, they're definitely doing well with James Harden. But they added some key players, you know, to the roster. We were speaking on it earlier. Who do you think that once shooting forward, Campbell, is really, really a weapon, you know, on the offensive end, and definitely able to hurt other teams and help the Houston Rockets, you know, be a top contender in the West Coast, you know, if not make it to the finals.
Yeah, especially these days, the West Conference is like very competitive, and yeah, they have to have a good players. Like Warriors have the KD and Steph, Clay, and all the good players. They have to compete with those guys, and yeah.
Yeah, Houston added Ryan Anderson, coming from the Pelicans, which was very, very good stretch four for them. He can definitely knock down the three. Definitely get to the basket, you know, attack inside and out, which is going to help them with the loss of Dwight Howard. They needed someone that can hold it down. And Capella, not Campbell, mm-hmm. was the name. Clint Campbell, Capella, is, you know, a really, really active person. He had 12-7 last game. Eric Gordon is definitely going to help them. Trevor Ariza has been a key role player for every team that he's played upon. And you still have Patrick Beverley, you know, coming off the bench waiting to shoot for you. So they're definitely having some weapons. James Harden is going to do a great, great season this year, I think. Definitely close it out.
Yeah. Yes, Trevor Ariza and Corey Brewer.
Yeah.
They already have a ring in the past, and, mm-hmm. and I think they're, you know, good older guys and good influence for the other young players as well. I think they're gonna do a good job this year.
Yeah, hopefully. Just because they have that ring, you think it gives them a little bit of experience?
Yeah, definitely. They, you know, like even though James Harden is a really good player, he have never been to that stage yet, right? So like
he played the OKC. Miami Heat.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
But I don't know, but he didn't win. He did?
No, he didn't.
He didn't, right?
Yeah, he didn't.
Yeah, it means, you know, like he don't know like how champions are like, you know? But those guys like Trevor and Corey, can tell, you know, other young players and all other players their experience definitely.
Who did Corey Brewer win a?
Mavericks.
No, he did.
Yeah.
When he beat LeBron James, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Unfortunate.
That was a good team.
Very unfortunate. They played the Pelicans in Anthony Davis's team. Anthony Davis definitely has some upside. Saw some of him in the, you know, USA, and he had 23-11.
Is he healthy now?
23-5, excuse me, against the Houston Rockets. Yeah, he's healthy now. He's playing. Because
I saw him this summer in the gym, and he couldn't run. He just said, you know, walking around and shooting the ball, that's it. So,
really?
Yeah, I was really worried about. But I'm happy for him.
Yeah, I'm Buddy Hield.
Oh.
You like Buddy?
Yes, I like his work ethic a lot.
He has 14 and 3 against Houston Rockets, 3 assists.
Did he start?
No, he did not start.
But played 30 minutes.
Yeah, 30 minutes is a good amount of time.
Whoa, and went 5 for 12?
For a rookie, yep.
That's awesome, 41%.
Wow. I talked about him a little bit last show. He was in the gym where I was working out this summer, and he was just coming around, and he shot by himself, just shot around and had someone rebound him for about 2 hours, you know, before he actually worked out. He was just shooting around, kind of dribbling around, blaring music before he actually worked out and did the training. He was just kind of getting loose and stuff, and, you know, that's crazy to come in the gym and just have that much time, and that's your job, to just go and shoot.
Yeah. Well, like, as a college basketball player, coach is always mentioned about him, like, his work ethic, you know, like, my coach sent me about, like, how he works in the college. That's super impressive.
Mm-hmm. One of the things the guys that I was training was saying that he's just not so, he's so explosive, but the amount of time that he recovers in and his recovery time is crazy. You know, that he recovers so much faster than normal guys that they see. You know, so if he gets tired, you know, he's right back up and he's ready to do the next one.
Wow.
And he's just as explosive as he has before.
Like, it's because he does a lot of treatments, or like just like his body is like that?
Oh, like just recovery from like being tired. Like,
okay.
Like, he does every rep as hard as he did the first one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he doesn't really get tired, and, you know, that's crazy to see.
Wow.
Definitely falls on his work mm-hmm. ethic and his experience, you know, in the gym. So right now we're going to go to our last commercial break. Finishing up the show, we have Rio Tawatari joining us. Thank you for joining us, Rio.
Thank you.
You're listening to DJ Duncan. This is On the Bounce, radio.dominican.edu. This is Penguin Radio, and we'll be right back. Massage your melodies might go right through simultaneously like a Uzi. Nothing can bruise me. Lyrics let up when ladies say don't lose me. So reload quickly and you better hit me. While I'm letting this BB get with me. You're stepping with 007. Better make it snappy. No time to do your hair, baby. Brothers is busting at me. Beast and bullets pass me. Not on target. They want the hard hit, but watch the guard get. Bring up the tongue as the trigger, cause I'm real fast. Let on some rhythm, madam. Let them feel the blast. Penetrate at a crazy rate. This ain't a 38. Hit them at point blank range and watch them radiate. Running out of ammunition. I'm done with them. You ask me how I did them, I let the rhythm hit them. I'm pushing power that's punishing, prepare to be a prisoner. The hitman is the brother with charisma. Showing you that I have powerful paragraphs. Followers become leaders, but without a path, you're mentally paralyzed. Crippled your third eye, rhymes are blurred, bend at a curve that you heard. I reduce the friction, the crucifixion, let loose the mixing, boost the pitch, then ever hit him with some of that. Cuts like a lumberjack, and me getting hit back, it won't be none of that, I'm untouchable. You see me in 3D, when I let the rhythm hit another MC. Lyrics made of lead, into your head, then eruption of a mass. Mass production to spread when music is louder, full of gunpowder, microphone machinery when I see a crowder. Party people pumping their fists like this, you're hiding the back thinking that I might miss, but the art is accurate, plus I packed it with educated punchlines that I have to hit. Whatever I aim at, I line them up, your body is weak, feel a pain, that time is up, you've been hit with something different, isn't it? Rocking is gonna radiate, nothing's equivalent, nothing can harm me, why try and bomb me? You couldn't f*** around with Rob with an army, you can wreck by the architect.
architects to respect them. I disconnect them soon as I inject them. The radiation, put them by the basement. Bust his chest open, bash his face and let it split him. Since he brought his main man with him, he asked me how I did him. I let the rhythm hit him. Let it hit him. Dance floor is dangerous, packed in like a briefcase. Rhythm a real rough rhyme beats with deep bass. Girls with tight pants, maybe they might dance. Tonight if the R's on the mic, it's a slight chance. The crowd is crucial, MC's grounds are neutral. Now that you're here, let me introduce you, get ready. I'm hard to read like graffiti, but steady. Signs I drop is real heavy, radiant energy. That'll be the penalty, touch the third rail on the pain and remedy. The prescription's one every hour, now it's a habit. You need another hit from the freestyle fanatic. Attention, follow directions, real close, keep out of reach. Children, beware of overdose, too many milligrams. The one made an ill jam. My rhymes is the rhythm, my thoughts are killer, man. Ideas full of air to fear, might split him. He'll never forget him, he'll rest in peace with him. At least when he left, he'll know one hit him. The last breath of the words of death was the rhythm. Now throw your hands in the air and yell go. Rock him or do the rest of this slow. If I speed, they know they'll blow the hell up. If I swore to catch up, hell in the wicked as I kicked it.
Thanks everybody for joining our show. We're finishing up on the hour. This is DJ Duncan, Penguin Radio. You're listening to On the Bounce. Joining us, we have Rio Tawatari. Thank you, Rio, for joining in on the show and giving your input.
Thank you, guys.
Very insightful, very insightful.
Thank you very much.
So for the daily shout outs, last week I shouted out the Monday shows. Today we're going to shout out the Wednesday shows. So if you're doing nothing on a Wednesday afternoon, listen from 4 to 5. It's going to get weird with DJ Young Z. From 5 to 6, DJ Amore is talking about the Travel Diaries. 6 to 7, we have DJ Sadahuro. Listen to the Kwai Corner. And from 7 to 8, we have DJ Royal with the College Survival Guide. And 8 to 9, finishing up, we have Captain Quality with his My Two Cents and his show. This week, we have a couple good games going on, Ree.
Yep.
We have, on Thursday, the volleyball.
Ooh.
Women's volleyball playing Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Darren Moore.
We have a player of the week.
Amy Stewart.
Amy, yep. Yeah, we got to watch.
PacWest Player of the Week. That's a very, very high award to take, and it's good. We also have on Friday, 12 o'clock, men's and women's soccer placing Notre Dame, 12 o'clock, and then at 2:30.
Ooh.
It's going to be some good games coming up.
Is it going to be a home game?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. So, being on the men's basketball team, what do we have here coming up? How's our season shaking out? And
right now we've been doing the conditioning since it's a preseason, so we can use the basketball right now only 2 hours a week. But official practice is gonna start on Friday.
Friday.
Yeah, so excited about it.
Are you ready?
I am.
It was a long preseason, but it went by quick.
Mm-hmm. Especially this is the last year. I feel like I enjoyed every moment of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Even though you sat out a bit in the beginning. What was that about?
Unfortunately, my hamstring was, like weak. I worked weak. So hard this summer,
You worked so hard?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit too hard?
A little bit too hard. Like body heals. And yeah, I did weight a little bit too much and I had to sit out for like a good 2 weeks. Sorry, guys.
That's all right. I mean, you have to sometimes when, you show weakness and you can't take the running anymore.
That's right. So I think, yeah.
You need to take your time to recuperate.
I got to get back my respect from my teammates, so, you know.
They disrespected you after that?
Yeah, pretty much, my teammate's name is Josh Ramirez, showing me some hands. Sign every practice when I was sitting out.
Yeah,
that was really like hurtful.
Hurtful.
Mm-hmm. Pretty.
Man, we'll have to discuss that later.
Oh,
so.
And
what?
Midnight Mayhem.
Midnight Mayhem.
This
What's
Friday.
That?
Midnight Mayhem is I think DJ Duncan can explain well.
Midnight Mayhem is a event here on campus, going on Friday. Come to the gym 10 p.m., 9 p.m. You know, there's flyers all over the place. You should see it here on Dominican's campus.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically of all the teams introducing all of the sports teams and kind of putting a name to the you put a face to the name of who's on which team, and you know, athletes work so hard, so you kind of go and see what they have to show, and it's a little bit of each team puts on a skit for about 2-3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually pretty funny.
It is funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah, definitely you should it was the so you should come out and watch.
Yeah, you should definitely stop by if you're mm-hmm. in the area.
Yep.
Do you have any previews or
you know,
sneak previews of what we're doing?
Men's basketball team, we're going to do Sound of Music. Yeah, even though I'm Japanese, I watched this movie.
You've seen it?
Yeah, first grade in elementary school. That was a first class I did what I did.
They made you watch it?
Yes. Everything was in Japanese. But
it was a good movie.
Yeah, I liked it a lot, you know. But right. It's going to be fun.
I think some of the freshman guys didn't even know what the Sound of Music was.
Yeah, I heard it. I was surprised.
It was so old.
I think that was like the most one of the most famous movies in the history.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, well, not many people have seen Sound of Music, so they're going to get a little flavor of the reinterpretation
mm-hmm.
on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to start the season.
Yeah.
The first scrimmage, you know when the first scrimmage is at?
Oh, first scrimmage coming up on next weekend. I mean, next coming up, it's going to be the 21st or 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll be playing against, but yeah, definitely.
I think it's an Olympic club
in the city.
Undisclosed location.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. You know, Olympic club is usually have a good team, and it's always good competition.
Yeah. So, yep. Yeah, so men's and women's basketball having their first official practice. Shout out DJ Cheeks over there holding it down. We've had a good show this today, don't you think? I would like to thank you for joining us.
Yeah, definitely. It was fun to be on the radio again. Thank you for having me, Josh.
Yeah, it was a great time. You're listening to DJ Duncan. This is On the Bounce. Tuesdays, 4 to 5, if you're not doing anything, take a time for your free afternoon and join in. Thank you for listening. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.